Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Spillers After Show podcast. I am your host, Brian Dunn. Normally, the show's co-host, Robert Hochman, would be right by my side, but he is not going to be part of this particular recording, which I think he's going to be very bummed about because we have a very cool guest, someone that he and I both like. And for those of you who don't know, the Spillers After Show podcast is just what it sounds like. It's a dissection and discussion about what happened at the most recent Spillers. And Spillers is Phoenix, Arizona's only original short fiction reading event. We had an event recently. It was November 2nd at Crescent Ballroom. We had a great turnout, and six very talented local writers read their original short fiction for a crowd that really dug what they were hearing. And we have one of those writers with us here tonight. Quick show note, Spillers number 3 has actually already been booked, Numero Tres. We are happy about that. It is going to be early 2016, February 1st to be exact, so mark your calendars. And so, you know, we kind of feel the best way to discuss what happened at Spillers and get to the stories and the stories behind the stories and people behind the stories and that sort of thing is to talk with the people who actually participated in it. So we have one of those very talented writers with us tonight. Let me tell you a little bit about this guy. He read a short story, The Husband of a Galaxy, which Robert and I had a chance to read beforehand and were really just kind of blown away by. We really loved it. And he is also a creative writing professor at ASU. He has a list of published credits that are as long as Manute Bol's arm. And he's also a just a super nice guy. I'm going to go ahead and say this. He makes me want to be a better person. And we're happy to have him here. His name is Gary Joshua Garrison. Gary, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. I'm very happy to be here. I think this is super cool what you guys have put together, and I'm honored to be a part of it.
You know, well, thanks, man.
To be experiencing it, yeah.
Well, we're very happy. How did you find out about it, and what was the process of you deciding to submit something?
I found out about it through Four Chambers. I got an email from Four Chambers not too long before the show. I think it was like a week and a half or something before the show.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you know what, I'm happy to throw something out there, be a part of the literary community here in Phoenix, Tempe area. I'm over in Tempe, but so it was a super cool opportunity, and I was happy to be selected to participate.
Oh, please.
Right?
Yeah, selected. Yeah,
it was good.
It's a pretty easy choice, actually. But yeah, no, you're right. We, Robert and I, we reached out to Jake of Four Chambers Press and asked if he knew any talented folks who would be interested in reading at Spillers. And glad that he reached out to you along with some other folks. And I think we had a really talented lineup. I think everybody really enjoyed. Yeah, it was a very solid showing. A lot of different types of stories, I thought. A really good reaction from the crowd. Let's talk about your story, The Husband of a Galaxy, right?
All right.
Okay.
All right.
And that was originally published on Word Riot?
It was, yeah. Not terribly long ago either. I believe it was in the September issue. So like 2 issues ago.
Okay.
Just a couple months ago. Yeah, and it ended up there shockingly quick for most.
Yeah.
I sent it in early September, and they were very quick about their response time. Word Riot's usually very quick, but usually they say no thank you very frequently.
You know, I think for the record, I've been rejected by Word Riot numerous times.
Several. Yeah. I'm very used to whenever I see a response from them, I'm just like, all right, fair enough. I will begin a revision process now. I've been submitting there for like 2 years or something, and so I was really psyched to have this story with them, and very surprised.
Very surprised.
Yeah, I was.
You're a very modest man, Gary.
Sometimes I like to. Okay. I pretend to be humble. but with this particular story, I really was. Like a week before I submitted it, I was talking with my wife about the piece, and and she read it, and you know she's too nice to me most of the time.
Oh, is she?
Okay. Yes, she is, for sure.
That's good.
But I was, I read it, she read it, and we were talking about it, and I was like, I'm not feeling this. I'm really not into this story. It's not what I'm used to doing.
Right.
She was like, just try and submit it, you know. I think it's good. I think it's in a good place.
Huh.
And so I trusted her,
and
this is what has happened.
How nice is that when you trust the spousal editor, and it turns out that their hunch is correct.
Yeah, I have my fingers crossed now for several more stories that she has given the go ahead on. So we'll see what happens with that.
So now I'm guessing that they all go through her, right?
Yeah. Well,
Or have they always?
Yeah, for the most part. For the most part, she's sort of been there for a very long portion of my writing life. And so she's definitely been on the ground floor of, usually it's just like, this is really good. And then I'll say, all right, and I'll keep working on it for another 6 months or a year or something. And
right.
Yeah, yeah. So it's sort of like positive encouragement to keep working.
That's important. You know, writers have to have that.
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing that I think is really important when I teach. Mm-hmm. And I'm a very lowly teaching associate at ASU, but I teach creative writing there. And one of the things that I really think of is important to instill in young writers is saying yes to them. Helping them. Telling them that their work is worth something, because the way I view it is everybody else in your writing life is going to tell you no and reject you at some point.
So you feel you have to be that balance.
Yeah. And I think my wife is like that for me. Really cool, in that she can help me sort of, no matter what sort of slump I'm in or how negative I'm feeling about a particular thing, she can sort of help me feel the desire to keep working on it, which I think is a pretty valuable thing in writing.
That's incredibly important.
Yeah. I mean, the whole world, I think almost everybody else I've ever encountered, except for maybe one particular professor that I had, has essentially at some point or another said, like, yeah, you know, you gotta keep working, you know, this isn't right or something like that.
Sure,
you know,
it's usually the criticism, right?
Yeah. And I think that's good, and now I definitely feed off of it.
Yeah, you have to, don't you?
Yeah, like, when you're a young writer, though, I think it can be detrimental.
Sure, absolutely.
To not have to be told no too early.
Yeah, I agree. So, in talking about the story, I take it it's magical realism, right? Is that what I'm to get from it, or is there something else going on that maybe I'm not picking up on?
I mean, I was talking about this with somebody else when the story first showed up on Word Riot and people started reading it and talking to me about it.
Well, hold on. Can I interrupt? Can you give people who maybe weren't at the event and didn't hear you tell the story just kind of a synopsis as to what it's about?
It is I suppose the simplest way to say it is a husband and wife lose a family member, and then one of them is exploded into a universe.
Into a galaxy, right.
Which are very different things. I've learned in the research of this, of this story. But
right.
But yes, that is essentially at the most basic level what happens.
Okay. So, magical realism, you think that?
Yes and no. I mean, in the most literal sense, when I was, I guess the answer would be yes in this case, but when I was approaching the piece and working on it, in the first draft, it didn't work like that. The wife didn't explode into a galaxy. And she actually was a sun. She became a sun.
I was going to guess supernova.
A very bright sun.
Okay.
But to me in the writing process, it was a very literal thing. Like, it actually happened. In that way it would be magical realism at its sort of most basic level, that it's treated as a very normal thing in the story.
Yeah.
Nobody's sort of blown away
no
by it. They notice that it's happening, but it's, you know, nobody is sort of losing their mind saying what's going on
exactly.
Here. So I guess yes.
Yeah.
The short answer. I was avoiding it, and I have to give in to it.
And now you've come around and said yes. Okay, so not a genre that you spend a lot of time writing in or reading or no? Okay.
I would say kind of
a departure.
No to both of those things.
No to both.
Unfortunately. Yeah. I think I love magical realism when I do encounter it.
It is
something that I haven't sought out as much as I should.
Right.
And I think the story, I would say, is very much in response to a story called Cowboys by Susan Steinberg.
Okay.
When I encountered that piece, I was really floored. It's an incredible piece, nothing like what I've created.
Okay,
but I was floored by it, and I was like, I want to try and emulate this. I want to try and just do something to sort of play off of it. Very different story. It's like a phone conversation.
And there was no phone in your story.
No, not at all. So it came from a very, very different place. But I think that story, which has no elements of magical realism or anything, was really sort of the the beginning of whatever this story came out of. And I think it was the language mostly that sort of blew me away in Steinberg's piece. It's a really, I should have brought a copy of it, but it's a really, really
cool.
incredibly written, just very fluid sort of, it feels very irreverent, but it also packs like a huge emotional punch. And I think that's really when I set out what I wanted to do with this piece is something that felt sort of, not silly, but, you know, like it wasn't being very grave about its subject matter.
Right.
And so that was really where I guess the initial thought came from, is this idea of, like, I want to do something that's, because I typically write things that are much more gruesome, I guess. I don't know.
That's
a terrible word choice, but.
No, that's a fine word choice. But gruesome.
I mean, not horror or anything like that, but.
No. Transgressive?
Very dreary, I would say. And gruesome in terms of the people the narrators that I choose to write about and the way in which they're encountering the world. And so I wanted to try and write something a little bit lighter that maybe had a similar sort of emotional punch.
Sure.
And so I think that's versus coming out of a magical realism type emulation.
Right. Okay. So do you frequently read somebody who then inspires you? You read a particular work of fiction and then you decide, you know what, this is taking me off in a different direction that maybe I hadn't anticipated, and you have to go write something because of that inspiration?
Yes and no to that as well. That'll be my answer for
you. You are non-committal, sir.
I know, I'm very non-committal.
That's all right.
That's one thing that I've learned. I would say yes in that so much of I do encounter really, really awesome things. I'm in a really cool literary community over at ASU, and I work with a lot of really amazing professors there who have introduced me to some of the coolest literature that I've ever could hope to encounter. And
wow.
So often when I am sitting down reading these things, I'm like, I have to just stop. I have to like stop. I'll be like an hour into reading something and I like need to read more of it. And I'll be like, no, I gotta go, you know, I gotta go write about this. Or, you know, some idea of it or play with the language of it. Mostly I would say it's probably the language of something.
Right.
But then also I think so much of the time I'm encountering this really amazing literature and I'm just like, I'm going to stay away from this. I have no right.
You're going to steer clear.
Yeah. It's so good that I have nothing to add. And I think there's so many writers like that I encounter that I'm floored by. And I want to study it and see how it works, but then I also just want to enjoy it.
Just enjoy it. Right. Just be a fan, be a reader.
Yeah. I think so much of the time being in the creative writing world, teaching creative writing, is you're supposed to tear things apart. And I love doing that. I love figuring out how a story is working, how it's functioning. But then I also just want to be a fan sometimes. You know?
Yeah, no, just absolutely.
Let it sort of wash over me.
Right. So I see that you've been nominated for a Pushcart Prize.
Yes. That's mistakenly, I would assume.
Really big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, I know for some people that's like a bucket list item.
Yeah.
So I mean, how did that come about? That's pretty cool.
It happened 2 years ago, I think. And to be nominated is a wonderful, wonderful honor. I have a really good friend, Allegra Hyde, who won a Pushcart last year.
That's great.
She also came out of the MFA program at ASU, and her story, it's a wonderful story. It originally showed up in the Missouri Review.
Oh, the Missouri Review. Yeah, yes. that's a biggie.
Yes, very.
They've also
very
rejected
biggie.
My work.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I don't even know if I've ever even attempted to submit.
You've never
that.
Even
I've,
attempted,
I've,
really?
Yeah, I've sort of.
You should.
I've looked at them and gone, oh my god, they're gonna just like sort of yell at me, not even say no.
You're afraid of being chastised.
Yeah, you don't even belong.
By the Missouri Review.
But yeah, so it was a huge honor for me. It was a journal, a little journal that nominated me, the Rappahannock Review, and 2 years ago for a story called "The Permanent Ache," I do believe.
Okay.
But yeah, it was
an intriguing title.
Yeah, it's one of those dreary stories that I was talking about.
With a dreary narrator?
Yes, with a dreary narrator.
Okay.
But it was really, really cool.
Yeah.
Cool thing to, it's cool to feel, I mean, it's great when people select your work to be published, because there's a wonderful validation in that. But then there's also, you know, when they still believe in it, they continue to sort of believe in it.
Right.
And they're like, this is, thank you.
Yeah, it feels good, doesn't
it? Yeah, exactly.
So, speaking of feeling good, you mentioned this literary community around ASU and Tempe.
Yes.
Right? And so, I see that you're also the prose editor of Hayden's Ferry Review.
I am.
What is that? What does that consist of? Is that, I know that's a literary journal. Yes,
it is. Yes, yes. I was. It's a part of ASU. It's published out of the basement of a building at Arizona State.
Is it literally a basement?
It is. It is literally a basement.
That is fantastic.
And my office is down there. There are no windows. and I've been a prose editor for, I guess this is my second year now, and I was trained by Allegra Hyde, who I just mentioned, very graciously and wonderfully. And essentially I work now with a wonderful writer named Heath Wilcock. And essentially we're very lucky to be a part of this already established journal in that HFR has been around for a long time. I mean, like 30 years, I think.
Oh, wow. I wasn't aware of that.
I'm probably telling a grievous lie right now, but it's been around for a long time. So it's very established. And so in that we have a name, we have a reputation that we can use when we solicit people. And then also we just get amazing submissions from people all over the world, actually. I essentially just get a chance to read this wonderful work and choose the things that move me and that I get to share with the world. And I think that's that's my favorite part about getting to be a part of it. And I'm very behind on it right now. I should probably be working on it right now.
Oh no, should you be?
But it's a really cool experience to find something to find a story that you love and to get to be the one to share that with the world.
In
some capacity, and get to be a part of the cool, awesome journal or experience of being a writer, you know, and on both ends of it, you know, I get to submit and I also get to choose and reject these things. And sometimes, and whenever I send out a rejection, there's so much, I'm like, oh, I feel,
right.
I know what
tough,
this is
isn't
like.
It?
But then I also, when I send out acceptance, I'm like this, I know how this feels. I know how good it is.
You know that the person on the other end is going to be immensely thrilled.
And then I also don't get angry at editors anymore when they reject me. I don't know if I ever did, but now I'm just like sympathetic. I'm like, that was probably hard for you.
Sure.
Or very satisfying.
Depending on the personality type, probably.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely.
So what other projects are you working on right now? Do you primarily write short stories? Are you working on a novel? Do you have other things that are going on? You mentioned before we started recording here that you're incredibly busy. So I'm wondering, how do you fit writing in? Well, how do you prioritize things?
I should be writing
things?
More.
Well, shouldn't we all?
Yeah. I definitely should. I know some people. I have the pleasure of working with some writers who are just like, they're so diligent. They wake up every morning. They write.
How do they do that?
For like 2 hours, you know? And I'm always amazed by it. I'm always amazed
by impressive.
Some people's energy. I'm working on a lot of things. I'm all over the place. In addition to writing short stories, I am dabbling with a longer manuscript that deals with a lot of the things that I am seeing in the world. It deals with I haven't talked about it a whole lot.
This is an exclusive.
Yeah, maybe,
I like it.
Maybe. It deals a lot with the internet and it deals a lot with terrorism and the way these things are shaping how we encounter the world and how we encounter each other.
Yeah.
And how it's they're both such terrifying things. And I think a lot of it comes out of Don DeLillo's book Mao 2, which came out in 89 or 91 or something. I'm probably getting that wrong, but in that book, one of the things that he sort of postulates is this idea that terrorism is like this new form of writing that people listen to.
Oh.
They'll listen to it, you know, they pay attention to it, and sort of usurping other forms of art in that way, and that people have stopped listening in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of this terrifying idea, and I think that really sort of kicked off some of what I'm interested in playing with that.
Yeah. So you're really not afraid to tackle the big themes then.
It
sounds to me like, wow, terrorism, the internet, the ubiquitousness of technology.
Yeah. And I think it's a huge thing to take on, and I'm definitely we'll see what happens with it, but it's a huge responsibility, I think, in terms of writing and in handling it in the proper way. And I think that's one thing, one of the things that I wanted to do was I wanted to take that on and try and, I mean, prove it to myself as a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And to say a lot of the things that I feel I'm hoping need to be said in some capacity or another. Whether or not I get that right, well, it remains to be seen.
Right,
but
right.
I'm working on it at the time. I mean, I've been working on it for about a year now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what stage is it in? Is it?
I mean, it's a mess in that stage. It's in
the mess stage.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, which I think constitutes 7/8 of writing a novel. I imagine. I can only imagine. Some people are probably more put together than I am. But I mean, it's a thing. It exists. It's substantial, but
that's wonderful.
Yeah, so hopefully,
I commend you for that. That's a big one.
It's a huge endeavor. It's a huge endeavor.
It is.
I think it's a long ways off, but I love doing it. I love, you know, sitting down when I do make time for it, which should be more often.
Duly noted.
Yeah, but it's a really really cool thing to do. But I fit it in less often than I should. I've been really busy this semester.
Mm-hmm.
Because
you're saying yes.
Yes, because
I'm
saying yes. I'm saying
you,
yes to
yes.
things.
Any opportunity that comes up, you're all for it. You're embracing it.
Yeah, one of the best things that I think I've said yes to over the course of the past semester was this internship of teaching at Florence State Prison.
Oh, cool.
Which has been a really wonderful experience teaching creative writing down there.
I bet that has been.
And it's been a really amazing learning experience for me as someone going down there. As you know, I go down there and pretend to be a teacher for a little bit, and really they teach me. I mean, and the experience teaches me, and it's been a really really cool thing that I think I've learned more about my writing and fiction from going down there and doing that for the past 4 months or however long I've been
doing pretty
it.
Crazy. How did you get hooked up with that?
It's a program through ASU that is a really awesome, incredible program that is in the process of expanding. They're trying to put as many teachers down there in classrooms as they possibly can, different subjects. I mean, I do creative writing, but then there are people in the room next door doing philosophy and GED level math all to help people pass the GED down there. There's some people doing biology, somebody doing psychology. It's all over the spectrum. It's a really, really cool thing. And then and some of the people I'm working with were trying to put together a literary magazine for people who have been impacted in some way, shape, or form by incarceration.
Okay.
And I'll plug it a little bit, I guess.
You should plug it.
It's called Iron City Magazine.
Iron City Magazine, okay.
IronCityMag.org. And
very cool.
It's a really, really cool thing. Just trying to essentially show the work and the amazing stuff that can be coming out of these places that I think are too often forgotten.
Well, I would definitely agree with you. They are too often forgotten. That's great that you're doing that.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I'm just honored to be a part of it, I think.
Yeah, I can understand that. Wow. Very cool. So my question is, first of all, can writing be taught? Do you think writing can be taught?
I have no idea.
There's that line, it can be learned, but it can't be taught.
Yes.
Do you subscribe to that?
I don't know. I mean, I think I'm very much still in the learning process of that. I want to say both yes and no, because I think there are people who don't have access to get to be taught writing. And I think for them, I hope, you know, they can learn it on their own through reading, through just pushing through and doing it. But I think I have learned exponentially from the writers that I've gotten a chance to work with, which has been really, really cool. And so I think I have learned a lot. I don't know if I've succeeded in any way to be like some sort of example. But otherwise, I mean, I would say, yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people say that they learn more from the students than maybe the students learn from them. But in your case, I actually believe it, Gary.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe you're being sincere.
I do. I do. I learned so much from my students, getting to be in the classroom with them all the time. I think part of it is they're not jaded. And I think that's what I love about it. And I hope
they bring
don't
an enthusiasm.
Stay jaded. They're there, I think, because they love writing.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them, I think, are very new to it, and they're trying to figure things out. And I think I just, every now and again, I'm working through a story. You know, it might be difficult for 10 pages or something like that, but then there will be this moment where I'm like, this is the story. This is it. You've right. done something really incredible here.
Yes.
This is your story. Like, now you
just
need
to build on.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think whenever I find that moment, I'm amazed by it, to see what people are doing at, you know, any level. And then I'm just like, it's possible, you know?
It is.
I can see these things in these young writers, and I'm like, hopefully I can help you learn it, you know? And
yeah.
But they're teaching me with their enthusiasm and their love for it. I think sometimes I'm obligated to read this or write that or something like that, and they're doing it because they love it, and I think that reminds me
of maybe why you got into it.
Yeah,
in the first place.
And
yeah.
I mean, I still absolutely love it, but I've definitely sat down and gone, oh, I have to work on this, you know. And
yeah.
I don't know if they're like that. I'm sure some of them are, but you know.
Yeah. Well, not all of them. They may get there eventually.
Maybe. It's possible. If they keep with it.
Right.
They'll get jaded if they keep with it.
They will. Well, man, I really appreciate you sitting down. Sounds like you've got some great stuff going on. You said it was ironcitymag.org.
Yes, ironcitymag.org.
That's very cool. And Hayden's Ferry Review, of which you're the prose editor.
Yes.
All right, cool. And then your story, The Husband of a Galaxy, is on Word Riot.
It is.
The most recent issue, it sounds like.
No, it's a couple issues old now. Yeah, it's a couple issues old in the September issue. But they just put out their... What month is it? November?
It is November.
They just put out their November issue. It's incredible. Everything that they get their hands on is wonderful stuff. But that's up there now, and I mean, go read that. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think everybody should. Well, we definitely appreciate you being part of Spillers too. It was great.
Thank you.
And thanks very much for being part of the podcast.
Yes. Thanks so much. It was super fun. Thank you guys.
All right, man. Take care.
Yeah.
So thanks everybody for listening to this episode of the Spillers After Show podcast. We enjoyed having you.
To find out more about Spillers, check out our Facebook page. It's Spillers PHX. That's Spillers Phoenix.
And if you are inspired to submit to be part of the next Spillers event, please go to spillers.net.
And you can check out the podcast website at spillersaftershow.com.
And a special thank you to our sound guy, Steve Wiesenthal.
A special, very special thank you to Crescent Ballroom and to Southern Rail, who's been kind enough to host our podcasting recording sessions.
Absolutely. All right, thanks, everybody. We will see you soon. Ooh.